Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Very good. Well, are you ready to hear the word, more word? Well, get your Bibles or your devices. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, if you got a device only, go buy you a Bible. Get you one with letters, with pages, with all that stuff. I'm okay with devices, and probably Terry Wilson's going to come up here with a device, no doubt. You know, but anyway, come on, Terry. He's going to bring a word to it. He's been out. The prodigal has returned home. So, no, I'm messing with him. He's been, his family's been on vacation for about a month, and we sure have
from
missed
what?
Him. We really have.
All vacation right. From what?
Vacation for what?
From what?
From what? I don't, really don't know. Are you ready to go?
What have you heard?
No, are you ready? All right. Welcome, Pastor Terry Wilson.
Yes. That's what someone's asking. Vacation from what? This thing get ESPN, you said? Where is it? Oh, okay, good. Now, Shane, the Bible says, raise up a child and away she go. And when he's old, what'll happen? So I expect to see some Braves paraphernalia on these children next Sunday when they come in, so they get their chopper. I know a couple Braves fans in that family, so that's why I'm giving them a hard time. Hey, man, so, you know, it's amazing how God can orchestrate something. Is this a national holiday? Is this
awareness?
Not a holiday, but awareness.
Awareness.
So I didn't know we was going to be announcing that today. And what the Lord laid on my heart a couple weeks ago when Terry was talking about, and Pastor John asked me to do a Sunday school series in June, was, you know, I'm forever studying and trying to really understand myself and others and the way we think and the way we process things, because how do you know what you believe defines who you are, but what you think defines the experience you will have with who you are? See, I believe I'm a Christian, but if I think like the world, what's my experience as a Christian going to be? As one person said, not too good. Right? It's just not good. And, you know, this whole life that we have, Francis Frangipan says, the battlefield is where? It's the battlefield of the mind. I know some of you said, well, Terry, last time you spoke, you talked about believing. And now you're talking about our thoughts. Well, they are different. They're very different. And I'm coming more and more to understand the distinction between the two. A belief system is basically the thoughts that I've grabbed a hold of and says, that's a truth claim. This is true. And I'm going to anchor down on that. But how many know you can have thoughts that are incongruent with what you believe? And then you find yourself in what James calls being what?
Double-minded.
You know, which causes confusion, which causes anxiety, which causes all kinds of things. You know, quick testimony right there. I'll tell you how PTSD definitely affecting the military, but I guarantee you everyone in here is affected by it in some way or the other. Wasn't until early on in our marriage that I could listen to a baby cry and not be instantly brought back to a time in my life when I was kidnapped, and then the police found me 2 months later, and until my mother could get to me, they put me in a children's home. And the only thing I remember about that children's home that night is the crying for their mom and the crying for these lonely children. It wasn't until years after being married that I broke that. Now, and how many know if you have 5 kids, that better be something you break? You know what I'm talking about? But that's how Satan plays with our thoughts. And so this coming June, we're going to be talking about our thought life. And how to, you know, the Bible says that we can take thoughts captive. We can arrest them. You're deputized to tell your thought life you have the right to remain silent. Now, some of us don't have the ability, but you have the right. And so we're going to equip you, hopefully, through this series of teaching so that You can, when you recognize those incongruent thoughts that are trying to enter your mind that says one thing and you know it's directly opposed to what the Bible says about you, then you know where to go and you know how to arrest that. But we have to be, I had to learn to be deputized. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to learn how to incarcerate some thoughts, and that's what this whole series is about in June. Because if you don't, you end up just being all the time. Which way? Which way? And I'll give you a quick illustration of how you can be confused and not what to do. And how many know the church has got security cameras everywhere? You might not know that. And I might not supposed to be announcing that. Come to think of it. Let's say it may not. Let's just put it that way. Well, a security camera caught me and Gina last week after church trying to figure out where we wanted to go eat. And this is what happened.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? What do you want?
Now, I'm going to cut it short.
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
This went on to dinner time.
What do you want?
But that was us talking about where we wanted to go eat lunch last week. So I'm telling you, you got to get stable here. Otherwise, of course, you can tell by my profile that we figured out where to go eat because we didn't lose anything. But there in 2 Corinthians, as some say, 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That word arguments there, we destroy these lofty opinions. One version said was imaginations. How many know your imaginations can run wild with you sometimes and get you all sideways and stuff? And so a belief is the residing mental acceptance of a truth claim. A thought is a fleeting idea, as we said. What you think can be incongruent. That's why in Proverbs it says, keep thy heart with diligence, with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Out of what we allow, we start accepting these thoughts, comes the issues of life. And how many know we live in a world today that we've just got some, hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you, coach. We live in a world, sorry, I got sidelined. We live in a world that people are just contentious. They're angry. They're upset. We know that anger is a secondary emotion, really. Your primary emotion that anger comes out of, typically, most of the time, is fear. You're afraid of something, and it's easier for me emotionally to just get angry about it than admit that I'm afraid or I have concern or I'm sad or admit the primary emotion. We know that through Scripture. The Bible says Paul is saying that be anxious for nothing, but what? And what? Everything. With prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God. So we know that the peace, God's peace, is a filtration to what we allow in, right? And when we constantly are consuming things, it just gets us ratcheted up. When we're consuming things that are just coming against the peace of God, what are we allowing to happen? We're allowing things to enter our soul, right? That keeps us at what? And so we allow, and that's how we allow these things to come in. So it's very important that we filter that out. And it's amazing. You can learn a lot from children. Me and Israel, Izzy's what, 10 now? 12? Thank you. 14? Listen, folks. Yeah, this is real. This is real. It's not a put on. But man, he cracks me up, man. I love little Izzy. All my kids are so proud of him. Gabby got her first car this past week. So proud of her. So good for her. And she bought it. Her dad didn't. Her mom didn't. She bought it. And so we're just proud of our kids. And so I like to give. Yay, Gabby. funny story about thinking. And you know, what I do professionally is I consult and coach entrepreneurs and salespeople and stuff like that. And so I detest car shopping because I want to get on the other side sometimes. I say, I don't know if it's offensive that you're lying to me or you're doing it so poorly. But let me explain. You know, and so we had to, now if you're in car, not all car salespeople are bad. We've got some great ones that we met, but man, we got some that's like, really? Really? You know, they advertise these ones that they want to nail down on the lot and then sell off of, right? They put the low price to get you on the lot. And so we came for that one that was the low price because that was sort of what she's looking for. And the guy came out, oh, you can't get that one. I was like, why? He said, bank won't loan on it. What do you mean the bank won't loan it? Well, the bank, they're going to want, you know, $4,000. They'll only loan up $4,000 less than what we're asking for it. And I looked at Gina and says, do you hear what that fool just said? He just said, I'm overpricing this by $4,000. I'm saying, anyway, let me get off of that. But, Lord help them and keep them and bless them and let them sell a car. To keep thy heart all due diligence, he says, for out of it is issues life. Romans says, for I do not understand. Paul is in Romans saying, you know, I know I'm this, I want this, but I keep finding myself to do with this. And so he started experiencing this incongruency, right, that we as Christians and people and believers can experience sometimes, right? I believe this, but I'm experiencing this. And it's because of that warfare between what the Spirit of God on the inside has defined him as versus the old man that he's constantly having the war with, this inner dialogue, right? And Pastor Terry's doing a great teaching on that. You have to be back next week to get some of that. But that's what he's starting to illustrate. And so I saw this study from UCLA, and I thought it was so interesting, and I think you guys will find it interesting. But did you know... they did a study, a sample group, and they brought them in and wired them up and all this other stuff. And did you know on average, the average person, I asked Gina this before I wrote this down. I says, how many thoughts do you think you have in a day? And she goes, I can't count that high. Now, me as a guy, I'm thinking, well, I don't know, 12, 13. What's to eat? Who's playing tonight? You know, that's kind of, but she said, I can't count that high. You know, the average person has 70,000 thoughts a day. That's men included. 70, I don't know 70,000 things. But the average person has 70,000 thoughts a day, which means you have 2,100 thoughts per hour. Of course, some of them right now, when's he going to shut up so we can go eat? But still, you have 2,100 thoughts a day, which means per minute you're having 35 thoughts per minute. Per minute. Now, here's where it got even more interesting because they were able to study their reactions to these thoughts and things like that. Did you know that? Now, here we go. Out of all those thoughts, 80% of them are negative on the average person. Out of all those thoughts, 80% of them are negative. Do you know this? That 95% of them are repetitive. Now, why is that funny? That fool keeps thinking the same thing. And it's negative. All right. The Holy Ghost got on it. Isn't that something? 95% of them are repetitive. So the question is, where do thoughts come from? There's three main categories. Now, I want to put a caveat to all this. Neuroscientists and people who study this tell us, and this is amazing, that think about this for a second. How big is the universe? Think about how big the space, planets, different cosmos. Think about that for just a second. Put that in your head. How big is the universe? It's unquantifiable. That's how big it is. You know, we did a truth series about 10 years ago, and during the truth series, there was one Christian scientists that got up and was talking about how you could start from planet Earth today and going 500, whatever many miles per hour, going in one direction, and we could come back 20 years later and you're no closer to where we know is out there than when you first began. Which brings you to a line in Amazing Grace that was penned years before. And what does that line go like? Grace first began. That's how big the universe is. Now, you got that in your head? Neuroscientists and people who study the mind and all of these things tell us that we know more about the universe and space than we do the human mind. So what do you do when you don't know a lot about things as a society, as a culture, outside of God's word? You start stigmatizing things you don't understand. You start marginalizing things you don't understand. And I tell you what, I've been more sensitive to the human mind. Probably starting last year, I had a relative that was very close to me that started suffering from dementia. And I know a lot of you in here has been touched by that. And what it's done to this person, it's hollowed them out. And so I go back to God's word, because I said all that to say, while a doctor might not understand everything, we have a great physician who understands everything. And it's amazing to me how years later, even a song penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Amazing Grace, science comes out years later and starts confirming what was already pinned down before you could even have a cognitive thought about that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how God works and his things? So I just want to encourage you guys, if you feel discouraged, because when it gets into the area of the mind and our thoughts, discouragement can happen, because here's the reality. Science, doctors, don't have a lot of answers. They have some, but they don't have a lot of answers. But God does. God does and can. And so we don't need to. So where does thoughts come from? It's what we see, our eye gate or ear gate and things like that. Subconscious, constant event. You know, there's a subconscious, like that thing I talked about earlier where, you know, when I hear a baby cry, my subconscious would come up immediately and start bringing back something, right? And that happens, don't it? That happens until it's arrested under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the scientist calls it the X factor. The X factor, because they don't know. The third place of thoughts come from, they just say, they don't know. We do. It's called the spirit world. There's forces out there that are constantly trying to drop things, right? Good and bad, into your thought process, right? And we know that. Science calls it the X factor, because they don't know. We know that we serve a God in heaven, that under the power and inspiration of him, we can have thoughts that will inspire, that will inform, that will help us empower and do what we need to do. But we also know we have an adversary, don't we? That if we're not careful, he can be dropping thoughts. So you can't control sometimes what happens, but we can control how long we allow it to be there, right? Do we make it a table and say, well, pull on up, I like the way you talk. Or do we say, get out of here, you don't belong here. Because if you don't do that, what happens is a thought can turn into what? A belief. And remember, a belief will define who you are. Thoughts only define how you experience it. I got to get rid of these thoughts that are incongruent with what I believe, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we have to do that. I forgot to turn this thing on to where it would stay on. Constantly having to put my thumb down and just wake it up, wake it up, wake it up. There ought to be somebody around here that knows how these things operate. But in our short little time together, I want to talk to you a little bit about what we're going to get into in our Sunday school studies about how to control your thought life and how to really start arresting it. Proverbs says this, the tongue has what? The power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You're going to eat, for in other words, you're going to eat your words. What you say, you're going to be able to devour. And a lot of times people, when I talk to them about you need to be affirmative in what you say about yourself, you need to be affirmative about what you say about your family and your spouse, you need to be affirmative about what you say about your church, about your country, about your president, even if you don't like him or you do like him, you need to be. Why? Because out of the mouth is power of life and death. And if you speak negative, you'll start thinking negative. And if I think negative, I act negative. If I act negative, what happens? I get negative. It's all connected, right? So let's go over here to this passage right here. I want to bring out how this really works. He says this in Romans, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved, right? So my belief system defines who I am. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And with what? The mouth one confesses and is saved. See, I believe Christ is my Savior, right? So that defines who I am. I confess with my mouth on a daily basis. I'm saved. I'm the righteousness of God. What happens? It defines my experience with that belief system, right? So my daily mantra, now you might think this is funny, you might think it's crazy, but on a daily basis, before I pick up the phone and talk to the first client, before I do my first podcast, before I do a training, before I got here this morning, I have a little daily thing. It's taped to my desk where I can read it. I taught about this at our conference, and I would encourage you to have something very similar. What has God called you to? What has God brought you from? Bring it into your daily, this is who I am. You know, and it could be line upon line, word upon word, a passage of Scripture, but here's mine. And I say this to myself, and I say it to others, actually, when I'm talking to them. It says, I am made from, by, and for the purposes of greatness. Today, I will be an instrument to inspire, influence, and empower others to embrace, engage, and accept the same greatness that is offered to them. Today, new ideas, new streams of income, new opportunities will come to me so that I can help others find them as well. That's my day. I am made for, from, and by the purposes of greatness. And today, I'm going to inform, I'm going to inspire, and I'm going to empower others to do it as well because it's been afforded to them. And so new ideas, new income streams, and new ways of doing things are going to be coming to me so that I can help others find the same thing. Now, that's me. What is yours? Because what I'm doing is I'm setting the table of this is who I am. I'm telling my mind, and this is what I allow in anything that is not congruent, because this is based on my belief system, right? And I'm telling my thought life, if you don't line up with this, you're not invited. You might show up, but you'll get the boot on the way out. Because if I don't do that, what happens? I allow other people to set my mood. And you know what? People that I allow to set my, they typically don't care how I feel. I have found, out of all the world when it comes to people, I care more about how I feel than anyone else. Now, that might be a revelation just to me, but it's true. And so I have learned I can't give the keys to my emotions. I can't give the keys to my attitude. I can't give the keys to my beliefs to other people. Because you know what I have found? Some of them will take the keys. Some of them don't care. But there are some that just out there that if they can just get you irritated, they have feel like I have succeeded in life today. I have met my calling. I don't understand these personality types, but trust me, you'll find them. You've been in the bread line at the Walmart, I'm sure. So it just happens. So you have to, and I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm talking about believing God's word and putting myself in a position to receive it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So let me ask you something real quick as we're going to wrap up here, because I know you guys. I know you guys. I mean, what I'm saying, riddle me this, Batman. Is it true, what I'm about to say? Just say, true or false? The Bible is the infallible, inherent word of God. Okay. Yeah. We started off with an easy one. We serve a living God, a loving God, and a liberating God who came to us, for us, and now lives in us. Good. You're two for two. God's thoughts about me are true and supersedes any other opinions, including my own. Okay. This is where I set you up. You just told me the Bible's true, God's character is not in question, and that you believe it all. Now, you ever think to yourself, I'm alone? I'm in this by myself. It's just misery and mayhem and me. And I take misery for 500, Alex, because I can't afford mayhem. I'm not insured with Allstate. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. A thought just snuck up there. And you say, see what happens? You pour it in, it comes out. Have you ever been in a financial bind and struggled for a while and having a hard time making ends meet? And then you're just saying, well, it's just me. Nobody cares. Nobody sees it. I'm in this by myself. I'm alone. I'm abandoned. Anyone ever felt that? I was at a conference years ago, and there was a preacher that showed up who was a well-known preacher, and he was financially doing well for many years there. And then something interrupted his life and put him in a place by himself, no money, no friends. Everybody abandoned him, talking bad about him. And a verse of scripture came to life to him from Hebrews 13:5. Read, if you ever feel abandoned, if you ever feel, because I'm financially struggling, no one else understands it, there's a verse for you. If you're feeling alone because of financial pressures, there's a verse for you, Hebrews 13:5. Go read it sometimes. It says this, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as ye have, for I have said, I will not leave you nor forsake you or begging bread. Now, what made it just rememberable for me is if you'll do a word study sometimes in the Greek, and Pastor Terry's brought this up before, I dare you to look that up in the Greek. Because in the Greek, he repeats this 5 times. I will never leave you. 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 I will never leave you or forsake you or making you wanting for bread. That preacher's name was Jim Baker. And he didn't understand what that passage meant until he was in a prison cell, lost everything. And the world looking at him saying, how dare you? How could you? And all of a sudden, the word of God came to life to him. I did not know years later that would be a verse that sustained me through some lonely, lonely nights. Like, boy, what am I going to do? There's a verse for you. You feel alone sometimes in your relationships because of friends, family, or foes? You feel like friends that would have, should have, could have been there, they're not. You feel like a family that you depended on didn't, and you just feel alone. There's a verse for you. Proverbs 18:24. I dare you look it up sometime. He says this. He that maketh a friend does it to his own demise. In other words, if you make friends with everybody without saying, you know, you're worthy of being a friend, you're going to be suffering. But then he goes on and says this. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You feel alone? Now see, why are you bringing that up, Terry? Because you just told me you believe the Bible. You just told me you believe the character of God. You just told me these are your belief system. But isn't it funny how our thoughts can go sideways on us sometimes and it's incongruent with what we said we believe? Because I have been tempted to think, I'm by myself. No one understands this. The Bible's saying there's a friend that sticks closer. You ever feel alone because God doesn't bother himself? You got a belief system. Maybe you come from a denomination, a doctrine that thought God doesn't bother himself with my daily problems. It's up to me because God helps those who help themselves. I was taught that. I was taught that as a child. God helps those, Terry, that helps themselves. Well, I got news for you. God helps those who can't help themselves. And you know who that includes? All of us. Because I don't know of any of us that could help themselves. We just not smart people. You know, when he calls us sheep, there's a reason. You ever saw a sheep? It ain't the brightest animal on the farm. Psalms 46:1-3 says this, God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in time of need. When you need him, he's like the old song from the 60s, I'll be there. He's there. He is there. God can not understand my weak areas and my temptations. You ever felt like I'm alone in this because what I have done over here, whoo, there's no way an all-consuming fire, an all-righteous, jealous God would even look at that, because I have created myself a mess. Anyone ever felt that way? God, if I know I'm in this by myself, because what I just did, man, I wouldn't even help me. Right? There's a verse for that. Paul, or the Hebrew writer, says in chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, look it up sometimes. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence do what? Draw near to the throne of grace. And what will happen? He'll draw near to us. He'll come to us. I'm going to tell you, there is not a sin you can commit that puts you out of the reaches and the arms of our loving Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I felt alone from time to time, just to be honest. It says, have you ever felt this way? I don't fit in. I'm an oddball. Now, before you amen that, that might be true. But Proverbs 3, verse 3-5 says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on a tablet of your heart. So you will do what? Find favor and success with who? God and man. Yeah, I'm an oddball, but God will put a spell on you and you still have to like me. That's right, that's right. You can be an oddball and still have favor with God and man. I've seen that so many times. How many of you have ever, well, I can't. I know the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know it says, you know, that he made me the head and not the tail. I know it says, that's good. Make you feel good. But, you know, I got this thing. and, you know, I can't. Now, we've heard the old saw, can't, never could, won't, never will. How many's heard that? Right? It's the old saw. But there's another one in there that you probably never heard. Maybe won't stick around long enough to see if it's possible. While can't, never could, won't, never will, maybe. If you got a maybe in your life, that's worse than the can't and won't. At least there's resolve there. You got this nagging thing about you. You got one foot in the camp. Well, I might be, because the Bible does say, you know, but, you know, and you're in this double-minded. Can't, never could, won't, never will, but maybe doesn't stick around long enough to see if it's possible. And how many know all things through Christ is what? Not only possible, but probable, if you allow him to do it. Maybe you say, I'm too weak. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness and insults and hardships, persecutions, even in calamities. Why? Because where I'm weak. Come on now. So when you're telling yourself, when you have this thought life that, well, I'm just too weak, embrace it. You're right. And that's where he can really shine. He's not going to have to fight me for the steering wheel on this one because I really can't. But with him, I can. You can rest that thought, right? Well, I just don't have the ability. Well, Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorites. Now, unto him who's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever think, dream, or imagine. According to what? The power that works in us. You got to let it work in you, right? And then what about this? I'm not in a position. Well, Pastor, I do more. But I'm just not in a position to do more. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will do what? Establish you. He'll put you in a position you can do more. He will line it up where you can do more. So what about this? This is a big one. And I had to overcome this one. Failure. Old Terry. Man, I've tried before. I've tried things. And I've tried, you know, this Christian walk. I've tried this believing more. I know someone who struggles with the doctrine of healing because years ago, they went up for prayer. The preacher told them, They could be healed if they had the faith enough to be healed, and if they didn't get healed, it was on them. And they walked away with no healing today. They still have the same thing. And they have been robbed of a truth that God can and does in today's world heal. And what they can be healed of, honestly, is no big feat for God. But they won't accept it. Why? Because a thought was able to be entered into their hearts by the enemy, and now it's become a truth claim. And remember, if I believe it, that's what I'll receive. Right? My belief system defines who I am. My thoughts define how I experience it. If I don't believe God can, and I start looking, because what? Here's the dangers of believing wrong things, and the benefit of believing good things. This is very interesting. There's a thing called a confirmational bias that happens to all of us on a subconscious level. What that means is, and you experience it when you buy a car. And Gabby bought a car last week, and she noticed on the way home. What did she notice? Anybody's ever bought a new car or a different car or a car yet? What do you notice on your way home from the dealership? Others just like it that you never noticed before. She didn't even know this car existed. She didn't know this body style existed. She didn't know anything about this car. Now, what happens? That's all she sees. Well, they got one, and they got one. Well, did you know our neighbors up the street had one? When I believe something wrong, I start seeing and picking out evidence to confirm that belief system. You don't waste your time. Anybody got time to waste? Get in an argument with someone over theology or politics, and they've believed the same way for years. Even if you win the argument, you've lost. I'm not telling you not to share. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we as human beings, the Bible calls it a stronghold. Our belief systems, we've made this truth claim, and now all we see is things that will confirm this truth claim. That's why it's so important to build your house on a firm foundation. Because one of the reasons I think our society is in such upheaval is the storms of life are blowing against the belief system, and it ain't holding. It ain't holding. It's rocking. You understand what I'm saying? And so, man, I wish this thing would stay on. I'm going to have to find someone that understands Apple products, I'll tell you right now. Here's one, and we'll end with this one. I would believe more and do more, but Terry, here's the thing you got to understand about me. My daddy was a failure. My granddaddy was a failure, and I'm going to be a failure. Had someone at the conference we had, You Were Worth More conference down in Greenville back in March, and Gino just laughed at me because he turned me into a puddle of water. Because that was his mantra. Listen, I come from a long line of failures. I come from a long line of dreamers. I come from a long line of people who've tried and failed. And you know what, Terry? The only reason I'm here is because my wife drugged me here. But Terry, for the first time in my life, I believe it's possible that I could experience more in life, that I could enjoy more in life, that I could really take what God has given me and make something of myself for the first time, Terry. And he's just sitting there crying. And, of course, he's turning me into a water because my whole thing is, the whole time I'm praying, God, use me. God, use me. Let me, my mantra, I'm made from, for, and with the purposes of greatness. And you're going to pour into me so I can be poured out. And then when you start seeing it come to life, it confirms what God is doing in you, right? And so, but he says, immediately this verse came to Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Amen. No weapon that's fashioned against you shall succeed. And you shall refute every tongue that rises up against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the... So this is the heritage. This is the heritage. See, Satan wants you to believe that you're a product of your earthly heritage. But you don't have to accept generational curses. You know how I know that? My name is John Terrell Wilson III. That's three of us. But you have to go back four generations, and I'm the first one of that lineage. Hasn't gone to jail for spousal abuse. Hasn't gone to jail for attempted murder. Hasn't had any real issues of anger, lashing out, and uncontrolled rage. Why? Because my mother, a praying mother, said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't know if you're here today and you think, well, I'm just a product of my lineage. You're not. If that's a thought that you're being tempted with, because he went on to share his testimony about alcoholism and drug abuse and this and that, and it just compelled me to say, well, did you know this happy-go-lucky guy that you are bragging about and enjoying, and I appreciate it, do you know I'm the first one in four generations that hasn't had to serve time yet? That's a joke. See, through God, all things are possible. All things are possible. He can turn a bunch of a lineage of angry, backwood rednecks that are just mad at the world into someone that people would fly around the world to come hear about being positive. That's my God. That's my God. He can turn a person who was a business failure into someone that talks to people about how to grow your business and be a success. That's my God. That's who I serve. But if I allow the thoughts of the enemy, if I allow the ideas that well up from the naysayers, I mean, I had uncles that said, well, you know, if he ain't got a father, he's going to be this and he's going to be that. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That is the heritage of a servant of God. These other ideas, these other thoughts, these other words, teachers saying this, church, good intentioned church folk who are misinformed about the heart of God. How many's been hurt by someone in the church that just said something that just crippled you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Then think it. Let that be your thought life. When someone says you can't, you're a failure, just no weapon formed against me is going to be able to take root, to advance, because I am his. We're going to be doing this right here, and we're going to be really bringing it out in a holistic way. We're going to, you know, someone says, Terry, you're always just, you've turned, and it was a criticism. Someone was trying to help me. Hey, I enjoy the criticisms more than the compliments. I'll tell you why. I learn more from the criticism, even if I don't agree with them. Because what it does, it tells me the perspective of some. So I know how to modify if I need to modify. God can use your enemies more than he can your friends. I tell you, guys, we're set up to win. If we'd get our heads right, you can't lose. The people that's trying to kill you and talk bad about you, you win from. The people that's trying to help you, you win from. Child of God, all he does is win. Terry, all you do is turn the Bible into a self-help book. All you do is just talk, you know, you basically converted the Bible into something, some sort of self-help thing. And he mentioned different preachers that he had theological issues with and akin to me to some of them. I get that. I get what he's saying. But here's, I would just respond to that person. And if you struggle sometimes when you hear someone, maybe not even, but that is a living, breathing book that is relevant for your life today. It will get you to heaven, and it will get heaven to you. There are practical, pragmatic things that this book lays out for us to do that if we'll do it, he promises, it will go well with us. And my calling is to reach people that are not necessarily church folk, but I can get them through a business means and saying there is a living God that has a living word that is practical, applicable, and will be palpable for you today if you would just not just hear, but do. So many times I have struggled in my life because I've heard the word, I just didn't do the word. And that's really the hardest thing. The first step's always the hardest in any new area. So if you want to hear more about this, Sunday mornings at 9:15, right over there. And listen, if you don't like this, we serve biscuits. I am a salesman. Unashamed. Listen, if you're struggling in anything right now, for just a moment of seriousness, if you're struggling with anything, there's people here, there's altar workers, there's prayer warriors, there's people that are here to help you. Do not walk away from this sanctuary today unchanged. If there's something that you're double-minded about because you've bought into a thought, you've entertained a thought, you've made it a dinner, you say, come on, belly up to the bar, I'll entertain you because I just like, it makes me feel better. There are people here today that will help you excuse that thought right out the door. Because God is here to make you what he says you are. There's grace for you. There's healing for you. You can go to other levels in your life. You really can. Is it easy? Sometimes, yeah. I've had God do things for me and it was just like, boom, took it away. More times than not, it was a process. But don't circumvent the process because you've got a promise. Usually, there's always a process before the promise. Terry, I'll make you this. I'll give you this. I'll do this for you. I had promises spoken over me as a young child, and I was like, you're crazy. I had to do this. How am I? Because I'm just so-and-so and such-and-such. But I held on to the promise. But now, looking back through a process I went through, I can understand how the promise was manifest through God, and he'll do the same for you. Sometimes, just like that, he's done that for me. The crying baby, that was instant healing. I can hear a baby cry now, and unless I cognitively, like in a message, bring it back, I don't think about that anymore. Used to, my heart was arrested. I felt anxiety. You know what anxiety is? It's fear. That's unbranded fear. A fear, if I've got a fear of heights, I'm afraid of heights. If I feel that emotion of being afraid, but I'm not up in the air, I got that. That's anxiety. And so many times we entertain thoughts that get into our subconscious and we don't even know why I'm feeling anxious. Why am I feeling so anxious? Why do I have this anxiety? God can come in there and clear that out. He can clean that out. But there's a passage, I think it's Pastor Terry's favorite verse. It says there, do not be what? Conformed. But be ye by what? And I really believe sometimes someone was telling me the other day, well, Terry, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand everything. I said, I don't care. The Spirit of God on the inside of you understands it. Get that word on the inside of you, even if it don't make sense. Because I'm telling you, I've seen it in my own life. Sometimes, somewhere, at some place, you're going to be put in a position of like, oh, my God, what do I do? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will quicken something on the inside of you, and you'll start speaking words you don't even know what they mean still. But the Spirit of God is going before you. He's fighting your battles. He's shutting up your enemies, and he's making a way out of no way. How many know he'll make a way out of no way? And we declare it. Let's stand. So if you got that, come on up after service. We'd love to pray for you. Okay. So I'm going to pray for you, and Pastor Terry's going to come on up. But I want to bless you guys real quick. I just feel quickened. I really felt something on that. You know, the Bible says, I think Malachi, where he says he'll turn the fathers to the sons. We live in a society that's almost like a fatherless society. We do. You know, a father is supposed to guide you and shepherd you and teach you and love you through your failures. And we live in such a jaded society, in a cynical society that will speak death over you. And then words, those words, I had it in my life. And I just felt something on that. So if you're in that vein, if you're struggling with that because of a situation with a father, I just want to pray over you if I can. And if that's not you, help me pray for those that it is. So bow your heads with me real quick. Lord, you said you would be a father to the fatherless, Lord. That, Lord, that when the enemy takes from us, you restore seven times. And God, in my own life, I know of multiple father figures that you've given me, giving me way more than one man could ever do. So, Lord, if there's men or women in our midst that are walking with a limp today because the enemy robbed them of that, Lord, I ask you to come inside their hearts right now and allow them to start speaking words and having thoughts that will accept what you will freely give. And that is a father to the fatherless, a friend to the friendless, hope to those who have no hope. God, you've done it for me. You've done it for so many others. And I ask you right now that you will change the atmosphere of your people and what they live and let them receive what you really have for them. And today I ask, in your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much. Amen. One thing is Pastor John and Miss Faye are back. we're glad you guys are back, and we really missed you. So I hope you're not, you're leaving. I start to say I hope you're not leaving anytime soon, but you're going to be gone a week for your anniversary. And how many years? 41 years. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. One last thing, on your way out, visit the Family Life Center. I know he said get you something and get you as much as you want and leave a donation. I'm saying get what you want, whether you leave a donation or not. Just get it, because we got to get it out of the building, you know. So if you want it, take it. If you want to leave a donation, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.